Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And Clint, lots of stuff going on. Let's get right to it.
Yes.
First one is a great recap post. Again, last week we had VS 2013 launch, Windows 8.1, and there's still lots of good stuff.
Yep.
Here's Scott Guthrie's blog on all things related to the Windows Azure SDK 2.2. So, big stuff, of course, being Visual Studio 2013 support. You can use 2012 and 2013, but you can't use 2010. Windows Azure sign-in. So once you sign in, let's say you're an MSDN subscriber, you sign in and boom, you get your benefits directly there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so I know VS 2013 has that now.
Yeah, so instead of having to do the weird certificate management and do all that stuff, now it's just using Active Directory sign-in. So that's a really big one. Another really cool one is remote debugging.
Ooh.
Right? So it's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm seeing these traces. I don't know what's going on. Scott has done a screenshot on how to actually set it up, but you put a breakpoint on, and all of a sudden you're debugging that server in the cloud.
That's magic.
It's total
it's magic.
It's total awesome magic. Other small stuff like firewall management. So, you know, you couldn't ever get to your SQL server because it has to know the IP addresses.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it knows, hey, it looks like you're trying to get to that. Do you want to add a rule so I can actually get to it? The VS 2013 virtual machines that you can get to. And another really cool one is Azure Management Libraries.
Okay.
So a lot of people are automating like updates or changes or ways to manage their stuff in the cloud.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you had to use PowerShell. So instead, what they've done is actually build .NET classes to enable you to do this. So for people that don't want to learn PowerShell and prefer to, say, use VB, C Sharp, or whatever, it's a preview of those libraries, and those are, I think, very cool.
Cool.
So lots of stuff to play with on the Azure side.
And up next, is, speaking of Azure, is Microsoft bought Epiphany, which is a API management delivery platform.
So what is an API management delivery platform?
Well, good, because I'm going to tell you, because I totally had to look this up. My understanding of it is that basically I would build out a service with many different endpoints and calls, and what I can do then is have different packages, different APIs exposed, and create wrappers for those APIs. So then now, I can rate limit you. I can give you access to certain APIs along with different authentications and endpoints and stuff like that using an API management system. So it basically helps it manages your API all up and then gives you an ability to parse it out.
Okay, that makes sense actually. So you want to be able to say, hey, you can only have this many, or you have the custom service,
yeah,
you get all services and no rate limiting.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Bing speech recognition control, Bing OCR, and translator controls on Windows Azure Marketplace. So big news from the Bing team, of course, they've been updating everything for 8.1.
Yes.
So speech recognition control, they have a control you can drag and drop onto, and basically you can talk to that control, and it'll tell you basically what you're writing out. It's just a couple lines of code to set the recognizer and have an event to be able to do this asynchronously. It's very easy code. And, of course, if you want to control how they do the UI.
Can you do a grammar dictionary on top of just getting your text back?
Yeah, so it depends on how you want to set it up.
Okay.
But the simple example is, hey, I'd want to be able to do something and maybe like a search box example.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But you could certainly do more like commands.
Yeah.
Right, where like I'm expecting these kind of commands as well. OCR, so that's the ability to do optical character recognition. Say you have the camera, you want to be able to point it at something, it'll read a label,
yep,
and then go search online for that text or label or whatever. So that's available for Windows 8.1. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention on the speech one, since you were talking about rate limiting, 500,000 queries, I think it's a month, that you can do on the speech recognition for free.
Okay.
So just a ton of stuff that you can do to add speech there before they started charging. And lastly, of course, the Bing translator control, and that's to change, you know, from A to B. So you're probably doing the amount per day.
I just did that.
Yes. What's the number
it's
per day?
16,000 per.
Repeating?
Yeah.
Okay.
1.66666. That's 666.
I just wanted to make sure it was repeating. That's great.
Definitely.
So lots of cool stuff that, and frankly, easy ways to light up your application.
Yes.
So cool stuff to the Bing team.
Okay, Katana 2 is now available. For those who don't know what katana is, it's basically an Owen wrapper, I guess, middleware.
And maybe the easiest way to say it is Owen is that specification for doing open web interfaces, like things more like almost like what IIS does.
Yeah.
Right? So HTTP handlers and
everything
else. They
kind of equated Owen to Node.js and I'm blanking on the other one. But it's interesting. It's open source. It's over at katanaproject.codeplex.com. They also have NuGet packages. If you're interested in just playing with some new crazy tech, I highly suggest checking it out.
Cool. And I think the big thing is making it, one, an open specification, which is the Owen part,
yep.
And then having implementations like Katana that people can kind of play with and, you know, do HTTP listeners or whatever they want to do.
Yep.
So, very cool stuff. Another thing is 8.1 samples.
Yes, I love samples.
Yes.
They teach me how to do stuff.
So a huge number of downloads, obviously, for this, but this includes downloads from in some of the key new libraries and new features, whether it's hubs, Bluetooth, and so on, that are now available in Windows 8.1.
Yes.
You get the SDK samples for.
Awesome.
And all are available, whether it's C++, C#, JavaScript.
Yeah, I love how it's now just one big giant download.
So it's four options.
I'm sorry, per language. I could just say, give me the C# one.
Yeah, as opposed to where you have to download JavaScript. You see an awesome demo, and it's not in your language. And
yes.
It's the sadness. John Galloway actually has a great post. Top things web developers should know about the VS 2013 release. So we've talked about some of this stuff. One is kind of how you get started with ASP.NET, ASP.NET vNext, their release notes. Scott Hanselman and Mads Christensen's intro videos, and this mm-hmm. includes a bunch of things from, hey, here are improvements in the JavaScript editor. Here are improvements in our CSS tools. Here are improvements in some of the Azure stuff that we talked about with Scott Gu a little earlier. And a number of things, web platform tools, entity framework as well, ways to minimize your install, just a number of very cool things that I think web developers would want to look at and just know that's available. Like, you know, the templates now, the default templates are using Bootstrap, which came from Twitter, which is nice in that it's very responsive. It'll scale down to a mobile app and so on.
Yep.
So cool stuff. Definitely cool. A blog post to check out.
Going to Windows Phone 8 code samples by Matthias Shapiro. This is cool because I tend to, Matthias created this amazing graph basically that says which path do I want to go down. So like mm-hmm. for me, I have a question on the camera. Okay, well I look there and then I follow the red lines and I'm like, okay, pixel or pick presenter, that may be it. How about a voice over IP sample
with the camera? That's cool.
Camera photos or proximity. Hey, how do I do Bluetooth to app to app? And all I have to do is just follow this. It makes it life super easy. Rather than having to parse through tons and tons of samples, I have this nice, easy to follow graph.
Yeah, I love this.
It's like pick your own adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great to also see sort of like what samples are using two things, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just background plus VoIP, for example, on background. So cool stuff, and kudos to Matthias for doing this. Nice visualization, too. So Hanselman has a great post on using SVG in visualization. So this is a library called ILNumerics. Ooh. So you can actually see the animated GIF there. But the idea is the library lets you have a rad way to be able to represent data. So there's a number of different types of charts and plotting that you can do, and of course doing real-time stuff, and everything is controlled programmatically as well, so you can make it much more dynamic and the rebel style as well. So, you know, I added a bar chart, and now I want to add another bar, and now I want to change the time series to this, and do this very sort of iteratively and interactively as well. So, if you haven't yet, definitely check it out. If you're looking to do sort of interactive graphics with SVG, Scott shows you very cool ways on how you can do it for web apps as well.
Cool.
So.
Now, NuGet is near and dear to my heart because I like deploying stuff to it and fetching stuff. So Mustafa hopefully I pronounced that correctly because I'm illiterate, created a blog post on basically propping up your own NuGet server. So you can actually deploy against your own NuGet server then and get updates and whatnot. Rather than having to push your stuff to a public source, you can do it to a local or a private source.
So is the primary idea there, like within our team, like, hey, we have this crazy library, but we don't want people to deploy it?
Yeah, like
it's inside our company kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. So like, if you go to like the Coding for Fun, like we have a library that we cannot release open source or something, but we leverage
in an
application, we'd prop it up there.
Right.
And then he also talks about going in using the NuGet Package Explorer. It's some pretty useful stuff. So if you're interested in NuGet and having your own NuGet server and NuGet packages, I highly suggest checking out the blog post.
Okay. Awesome. Which brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
So my pick of the week is actually from Nick Jansen. Hopefully I got that name right. Building a 3D MMO using WebSockets. So it's, there's basically walks through an example of how you can actually basically set up WebSockets to communicate. So whenever clients join up, he has an example of, hey, I want to make sure that, you know, A and B know of each other.
Yeah.
And we're communicating. And again, it's using actually a WebGL library.
Okay.
So rather than you having to learn how to do DX, this is actually on the web and uses a train example using a JavaScript library that really takes the pain out of doing this stuff. So he sets up Node.js and again uses the 3.js library that does it. So they have a train example. And then he's basically moving around a terrain. Now, as new things jump into the MMO, they launch, make sure the Node.js server, basically keeping everybody in sync that I know, twice a second, here's basically who's connected.
Okay.
So again, it's sort of the beginnings of a 3D MMO, but there's a lot of cool stuff. And I love sort of these interactive samples that show not just, hey, here's the back-end server for what an MMO would do.
Here's a full end-to-end.
Right. Here's the terrain sample that has the units and the back-end Node.js server and how we're going to do synchronization.
Yeah, that's cool.
So cool stuff. Now, what's your pick of the week?
My pick, because it's Halloween coming up, basically this weekend is when most people will celebrate Halloween in the United States. So a NASA engineer basically started his own company based on a Halloween project he did.
Awesome.
What he did was he had two tablets, one in the front, one in the back with the cameras, and then he wrote an app that let them talk to one another. So the camera in the back, you could see what's pointing there on the front screen and vice versa. So it looked like there was a giant hole through them.
Awesome.
So now he started this company where basically you download an app for your smartphone. You can that's free. That's pretty cool. So you can make your own costume or buy one of the cool little pre-done ones that he has with prosthetics and stuff. It's cool. So like the sample here is the eye. So you can start the eye will just randomly start moving and... there was one where there was a beating heart.
Awesome.
That was cool. It was definitely neat.
Love it. Very cool stuff.
Cool.
All right. Well, cool. Thanks, Clint, for joining us, and we will see you all next week.